I used to do a lot of accents, but there's some accents that I can't do anymore because of, you know, socio-political climate.
We did. Oh boy, let's see if I can see. Honestly, at some point, I just want to F-bomb people and say, sorry, I don't care. I don't care if it's politically incorrect. I don't care. Oh, we're going to cancel you. We're potty mouths.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What do they expect?
It's kind of like the people that are driving down the road and they're doing something stupid. And you just want to say, you know, pull over for a second, buddy. And just, yeah. Okay. Listen here, F Nugget.
Confession. One of the types of YouTube videos I've been drawn to lately is the drivers doing stupid things.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my gosh. And I just watch it. I'm like, oh no. And it happens. Yeah. And you go, what on earth? Here's the outcome. It has made me, and you know how I am on the Harley anyway, you assume people are going to screw up because
you have to.
You're assuming it's going to happen. Yeah. I've started to look for it more even when I'm driving the truck. I'm expecting somebody to just come flying across an intersection over some sort of a big – I just can't believe what some of these people do, cutting in front of a semi and then brake checking.
Yeah.
What is wrong
with
you?
It's so stupid. I do the same thing because with the Jeep now, the Jeep is twice as heavy as my last car. Mm-hmm. It is literally the shape of a brick and, you know, steel bumper, everything. I'm going to go through somebody. I cannot. And the tires are big and it's on a lift. So I can't stop as fast as I used to. So I have to have that space. And I am constantly looking because.
Yeah.
The first week I had it, I had to slam on my brakes as hard as I would in the Mercedes. And I almost flipped the car. I mean, it was scary. It was very scary.
Does it have like a front and rear brake like my Harley does?
No. Maybe it does. Maybe that's where I screwed up. I hit the front brake. I almost went, you know, ass over
tea kettle.
Head. Tea kettle, yeah.
Or head. Is that what they say in Nashville? It's ass over head.
No, it's ass over tea kettle. I just couldn't think of tea kettle, yeah. Okay, it's been a long week, man. Come on.
All right. But it is Friday. So it is Friday.
Thank you.
And Tuesday is when our listeners and viewers will be catching up with us.
Enjoying every last minute, hanging on every last word.
Word. Yeah. You haven't met our listeners and viewers.
No, I haven't. No.
Our listeners. We know some of them.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we do.
We know most of them, actually. So, hey, I was wondering, so confession number two, we very seldom come in with any really roaring good topical ideas.
I don't know what you're talking about. We end up planning. I've got the script. I've got
rabbit hole. You do not. I'm on a teleprompter.
Yeah, right here, right in front.
Biden and I are on the teleprompter. Hold on. I'm not going to blink.
My name is Nit.
Wow. You should get that.
Not going to say that. Yeah.
Okay, so this is one, though, and I found this interesting. If you had to choose between, hypothetical here, spiders, snakes, bees, or cockroaches, which one are you most, I guess fearful is a good word, fearful of? Which would you like to avoid the most?
That's the easiest question you could ever ask me. Snakes, all the way.
Snakes.
I hate snakes.
What if they're not poisonous?
Doesn't matter. I hate snakes.
Oh, did a snake do something to you once?
No, actually. And even at that, so I've pet snakes. I've carried snakes. I worked in an office where
you had a pet snake and snakes.
No, I pet them.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. I had a boss once. I shared an office with him. It was the whole company was in a house. So we were in an office together. We faced each other. I was the marketing manager.
Is this Microsoft?
No.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. But he had an albino python in the office, and he would take it out of the case once in a while and just let it go around the office. And he'd also have us feed it when he was gone. So, yeah, I'm not necessarily afraid in that sense. I just don't like them. I hate them. Rattlesnakes scare me. Just coming up on one.
Well, hearing
scares the crap out of me. Yeah.
I don't blame you. And I've never come across one. I would do time in Arizona, and you're always assuming that. And of course, here in Florida, I don't know if they have water moccasins, but or black snakes, or
they have everything. Everything that's poisonous.
They probably do. And then gators, they're not big enough for you. So pythons are they squeezers? Do they?
Yeah, squeeze? Pythons are squeezers. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that. Well, there was, and we'll post this in the YouTube in the comment section. Or you can sure put it in the show notes. I will. I always
watch for it.
Okay, then you'll have to look in the comments section, because he's too lazy to put it in the show notes.
I'm not lazy. It has nothing to do with laziness. It has to do with just not having a brain.
Okay, because you're too lazy to get a brain.
That's okay. I'll accept that.
They were handling them out. But anyway, there's a video in the UK. A guy was looking across like an alley in between apartments, I think, and he saw what he thought was like PVC. I get that mixed up. Well, PCV is positive.
You don't usually make that mistake.
It's positive crankcase ventilation.
And we were talking about
it. It used to be a filter that we would put in an engine in a car. This is PVC, which is polyvinyl chloro something.
Right. Anyway, I want to say chloride, but it's not.
It could be. Not. A pipe like up on the eaves of this house across, or this apartment across the way. And when you look at the video, and it's several still shots that they just roll in on. I see where he would think that. And then he saw this pipe go by the window.
This
apartment, and was like pushing the window open to try to get into the house. And it was, I gonna say off the top of my head, like 12 feet long.
Wow. No, I'm out. So when we were visiting my dad, we were talking about snakes, because, so I also put into context, John and I both grew up in the same general area, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We don't have poisonous snakes. Now, my dad did scare me a little bit, because he said, yeah, there are poisonous snakes in Minnesota. It turns out he was talking about one small area. They have no idea how it got there, and they don't leave that area.
And it's only one snake.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, Dad, that's not cool. You just ruined my whole – anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
But we grew up in a part of – we have snakes up there. Neither of us live there anymore. But they're not poisonous. So, that's where my dad lives now. They have – a lot of rattlesnakes, and I don't want to ever come up on a rattlesnake. But we're in there, and he's like, I asked him, we were talking about snakes, and I asked him if he had ever had a rattlesnake in the yard. He said, oh yeah. I've come up on one before, and it just rattles and you walk the other way, and, or you shoot it. And actually that was the conversation. You just shoot it. And I said, okay, well, that's easy to do. If I see one, it's going to get shot. I'm not even messing with it.
Yeah.
And he said, well, be careful, because we have another snake in the yard. I think he called it either a bull snake or something like, I don't know.
Oh,
it's a non-poisonous one. And he actually likes it because it eats all of the
critters.
Yeah. And I looked at him straight in the face and I said, I don't care. You better hope he doesn't show up in front of me, because he's dead too.
You see some of those videos of the bigger snakes, and they will eat like a big animal whole, and you just watch it go down its digestive tract, which I guess you would call, that's a little scary. Yeah. I don't even think about snakes, so I guess that's, cockroaches, have you ever lived in a place with cockroaches?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because we had to learn about this, because there are actually two different types of cockroaches.
Well, yeah. Indoor and outdoor is kind of what we were told. Yeah.
But the outdoor ones will come indoors.
Yes.
And we have had some in the house.
Oh, nasty.
We looked it up. We're like, okay, we're not dirty people. Why do we have cockroaches in the house? And then we found out they're actually coming in from outside.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. And they're huge.
They are. They're massive. Yeah.
Lisa found, when we lived in Houston for a while, she found, I think it was a palmetto bug. I'm not sure if there's a difference, but it was, it was like 2 inches long, and I could be under or overstating it. She called me. I was out of town. Called me in my hotel at like 3 a.m, screaming at the top of her lungs because it glided toward her. You didn't tell me they could fly, she said.
Yeah.
That was a really good impression of Lisa, by the way, too.
Yeah, it really was.
You didn't tell me they could fly. And right in her head, and she was freaked out. And I'm with her. I am not a cockroach.
Yeah. Would that be your biggest fear, is cockroaches?
It's not a fear. It's just I will kill them, whatever I see. Spiders kind of, too. I'm not friendly with spiders.
I think it depends on the spider.
If you're listening, sorry.
If it's a spider, I know what kind it is. I might leave it alone. It's the ones that I don't know. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, see ya.
Well, Wisconsin and Minnesota, you know, daddy long legs. I didn't really think much of them because
they ate mosquitoes.
Yes, and they would sometimes be in our shower downstairs.
Yep.
You know, it was no big deal, but you know, you get used to it, I guess. But yeah, those I don't want. Now we have little lizards down here.
Yeah, we have those here too.
Yeah, and they're not huge. There are in Mexico. They're actually big old, big old lizards. But these are cool because they will change colors. They're chameleon like. Yep. And it's cool. They'll be in a plant and they're, you know, hiding in their one color. But they're fun. And those, they're kind of cute. And Lisa's like, oh, big fella, you come over here, you know, cause she sees them in the house. And, that thing is going to die in the house because they don't go outside on their own. This is my brilliant wife. She finds them in a planter that she has, this cute plant right outside the lanai door. And she says, okay, well, I have an idea. One was in the lanai. She's trying to get him out. She put the planter inside. Sure as shit, the guy climbs on that, and it's the planter bus. And she took the bus back outside, and the guy's outside again. I know. It was brilliant.
That's genius.
She is so smart. Anyway, yeah, that's. But she's talking to him nicely. Though, okay, let's get you outside now. And yeah,
I really hate the fact that our wives are smarter than we are. I really don't.
I'm not being
sarcastic. For those who know me, who know I'm always sarcastic, I'm not. No, my wife is much smarter than I am.
Yeah, you and I are way over our skis. Both
way over. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
100%.
Okay, so I didn't, and it's good now that our wives know that we're fraidy cats.
Yeah. I'm not afraid. I'm not that's where I want to draw the line.
You're a killer. It just turns
I am
you,
not afraid of a snake.
Killer.
If you want, I don't care if I were a vegan. Snakes do not deserve to live.
They're made of tofu.
I don't care. They're getting their ass blasted.
I just killed a tofu snake. That'll teach him.
Yeah, exactly.
He was very thin, though. He was slim.
I don't do snakes. You can do pretty much any snakes. And then the other one for me, quite honestly, are scorpions. I don't like scorpions
either. Yeah, we don't really have them here.
No, we supposedly have them here, but I've never seen one here.
No. Yeah, that wouldn't make me too excited, probably a scorpion, unless we were having like crawfish,
right.
Crawfish boil.
Right. Yeah. You pull one of those out.
Throw them in with the other ones. Yeah.
And people eat them. They do in Europe, or not in Europe, Asia.
As long as they're dead.
Yeah. I just. So speaking of one thing that has nothing to do with this necessarily, but. Yeah,
so speaking of this.
Yeah. Well, because I talked about.
We have to work on our segues.
Right? Well, no, we were talking about what they eat in Asia.
Okay, you were.
And I was, first thing that came to my mind beyond that is sometimes, you know, they eat the fertilized eggs. You know, the hard-boiled fertilized egg.
Okay.
I'm going to send this to you so you can look at it, but then I'm going to show our viewers.
Are you texting him?
Yeah, I just texted it. And I opened an egg the other day. And
it was fertilized.
You see that? Yep.
Yep.
Oh, and the picture doesn't do it justice. You could see parts.
Really?
You could see chicken parts. Yep. It was pretty nasty. And I definitely didn't eat that.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought that thing in the front was just you doing a terrible pour.
Yeah, that was exactly.
Oh, on the one on the left there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
That is interesting.
I'm sure that happens all the time, but I've never seen it before.
You know, Lisa, I think, has gotten some fertilized eggs before. I mean, accident when she'd crack it open. Mm-hmm. I don't know as I ever have. So there are a few things that we will spend money on to get the higher quality stuff.
Yep,
eggs
are one of them.
So we spend the money on the whatever they're called. They're the high dollar ones anyway.
That's what this was too.
Yeah. And that's interesting. I have never seen anything.
The only thing I can think of is because they are free range pasture, all that. That's why, because they actually were intermingling and that's maybe how it got fertilized before they laid the egg, because there's no control at that.
There has to be some methodology though for them to track that.
You would think.
Who knows? Yeah. Well, I'm delighted with the quality of eggs, and I can't say the name off the top of my head, but it doesn't matter. They're not a sponsor, so screw them.
Ding.
but we eat a whole lot of eggs here in this household.
So yeah, we do too.
That's good.
Jen always goes to the store and buys just the carton of 12. I'm like, why do you do that? Get the bigger carton, because you know we're going to eat that in less than a week.
Well, and we've got the, you know, one of those plastic egg things that you put them in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently it's not okay to leave them. It is okay, but I don't know why we've always done that
in the United States. Yeah.
I guess it's in the US. You have to, whatever. So, but it holds, I think it holds 18.
Okay.
So we usually get, you know, just 12, because that brings it up to 18. I think there are 17 in there right now, because I just went to the store. But other times we just grab the 18 and it's fine. Right. And it, you know,
but yeah. do you eat one egg or two eggs when you make your eggs for yourself?
Three or four.
Really?
Yeah. I would say usually three, and I've turned into kind of an omelet guy.
Okay.
So my latest is, olive oil. This is John being weird. I get a bag of onions and I chop them up all at once, freeze them, and they go in the freezer in a Ziploc. And they will last, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks usually.
Okay.
A bag of onions. And it's awesome, because I just put them in frozen in the hot olive oil. Man, they just get perfect. And that's how I start off. My eggs are, frankly, as I told her today, just about anything I make, I start with onions and garlic.
Yep.
Except that's not, always, oh, what a great way to start. Anyway, so that, and I'll do spinach. I'll wilt the spinach down. Gotta have some protein. And we were out of everything last week, and I said, ding, I had a can of Spam in the garage.
Nice.
So I went out and got a can of Spam, and I did a nice sear on the pan, and it was delicious.
That's awesome.
I chopped it up and it was good. And then a little cheese in there, and not before the eggs, three eggs and cheese on top, and boom, done.
Nice.
Good to go.
So I have two ways that I prepare my eggs, and I like them the best this way. I mean, I prepare them a lot of different ways, but the two ways that I normally eat them. And also keep in mind, one of the reasons I do it is because one of these ways is supposed to keep you in ketosis. So I think we've explained before that one of the reasons I do the intermittent fasting isn't because I'm doing it to lose weight. It's because I like how my brain functions if I haven't eaten for X number of days. So, but if for example, I wake up with a headache and I know I'm going to have to take some Excedrin to get rid of it. No, not a sponsor. Ding, ding, ding. but I always have to eat something. Otherwise I get a really bad stomach ache. So to make sure that I'm not breaking that ketosis, I'll do, two eggs, over easy. And then I'll put them on top of a mashed avocado.
Oh, yeah.
Because those two together are supposed to be, they're not supposed to knock you out of ketosis.
Right.
I could be wrong. I don't know enough about it, but that's what I've researched.
Nope. I would say that's correct.
So that's what I do. A little salt, a little pepper, you know, and it's very, very good. Especially when you break the yolk over the avocado, it's
Yeah.
But the other way I do it, the one I do it most commonly, is I will take the mini portobello mushrooms, cut them into quarters.
Yummy.
And then I'll take Brussels sprouts and chop them very, very fine. Mm-hmm. Mix those together, a little salt, a little pepper in butter, my homemade butter, mm-hmm. and mix that up until they're kind of all wilted. And then I will crack two eggs over that. And then mix the egg in. So it's almost like a scrambled egg, but not mixing it beforehand. So it's got some of the whites and some of the yolk. I eat it like that. And it's, oh, that's probably my favorite. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'll even throw a little broccoli if we have it in there. it's so good. It's probably my favorite breakfast.
Yeah, that's really yummy. My ad would, of course, be bacon.
Sure, it would, but because,
yeah. And my new, and I think I've told you this, my new way of making that is in a deep pan, and I do the entire package of bacon at once.
Yeah.
And it, you know, cut it up, and it's, man, it works out great. Yeah, it keeps in the fridge too.
I've done that too. I've gotten to the point now where I do it in the oven.
Okay.
And I really like it in the oven.
I've heard easy that to from clean several up. People.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Lisa goes, you always do that right after I clean the house.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
Oh, and the whole place.
All the time. Like
bacon. Yeah. You know how to cover that up. You do what I did today. I did a pickle with jalapenos and onions and garlic.
Nice.
And carrots. And the pickle was amazing, but it's, you know, half water and half apple cider vinegar.
Nice.
Before you throw in the sugar and blah, blah, blah. Yep. And oh my gosh, it was amazing. But the whole place smells like so vinegar. Bad. Oh, smells I loved so it. Bad. It was awesome. Yeah.
I know. It's really good. I used to do pickled beets and I love pickled beets.
Yeah.
Do the same thing. But those smell even worse because the beets.
Yes. It's the whole, well, it would be like cauliflower. Cooking cauliflowers. I love to eat it after it's cooked, but I want to cook it at somebody else's house.
Yeah, exactly.
And then bring it home because otherwise it just smells terrible. It's very sultry.
Speaking of, I love it, cutting the head long ways and cooking it like a steak on the grill.
Oh,
but unfortunately my grill, my grill now, pretty much now I have a feeling this one's probably I can probably save it and still use it because I think I just need to add gas. But this grill I inherited from my mom. And when I inherited it, it was already 10 years old.
Okay.
And she died 11 years ago, almost 12 years ago. No, she died 12 years ago. Mm. It's 22 years old and it's now just dying. Like the doors, the bottom fell out and the doors fell off. Because, you know, it's got the thing under it where you can store stuff. Yeah, that all fell apart. And then yesterday I turned it on to cook some chicken breasts on there.
Yeah.
And it just went boom, 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 boom. So it was trying, which I think it may be the gas, but still, it's not an old canister, so it would have run out of gas a lot faster than usual.
Right.
So I'm thinking that I might have actually died on me.
Well, 22 years is pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah,
I'll say.
And it sat outside. I mean, that's 10 of those years at least were outside in Minnesota. So it wasn't like it was in the garage, you know, she put a cover on it and left it outside. So 22 years living there and I never put it in the garage. So it's just,
it's an outdoor grill.
It's an outdoor grill. It's about to be a outdoor garbage grill, which I think did I also tell you that my smoker broke too?
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. I only got to use it like 3 times.
What is that all about?
The heating element. So the heating, all of a sudden it wouldn't heat up enough. So I pulled the heating element out and it had burned out one of the posts.
Oh.
So I have to replace the whole heating element, but I can't find the one that fits.
How long have you had that?
6 months, maybe.
Oh, is that still under warranty?
No, it's not a new one. I got it used.
Oh, you
but
did.
The people that had it only used it twice. And it just sat in their garage. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have one that's sitting in my garage. I'm hoping it's not rotting away.
Yeah.
Looking hopefully forward not. To getting it in the other one, the actual garage.
The actual garage. Yes. How far away are we from that?
we walked through with the builder yesterday, so that was good. And, you know, there's some stuff that has to – all the drywall is there.
Oh, good.
He claimed they were putting the shingles on today, and then we just –
you know, they make a vaccine for that.
We the shingles. I have that. I took that vaccine. Yeah, so that is hopefully going on today, but then we had some thunderstorms, so that may have put a damper on that. We'll see how that all goes, but we're getting there. Long as short of it is a month to 2 months away, I would guess.
That's not bad. I mean, that's the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, yes. I would say it's finally getting there. You know, it's funny, and we were talking to him about that too. There are many homes that got the block walls put up and have not done anything in months and months and months. And so, you know, and I asked him, I said, is that people backing out? Or he said, some folks just forfeit their down payment. I mean, you put $50,000 down and they just say, nope, I can't, you know, price went up or something changed or we're waiting too long or forget it. And they just say goodbye to the, and he said one builder in particular has a bunch of them like that, that, you know, they're just so far behind that, it's they're just getting frustrated. So,
yeah. So something interesting that kind of along the same lines too, I was just for fun was looking at houses in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. What happened was I got an email that was a house in Mora, Minnesota, which is where I was born. It's a small town north of Minneapolis.
Okay.
And it was for, cause you add these mailing lists and stuff like that. And I look and I'm like, that house looks familiar. It was my old house.
That's for sale.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send it to you. It's interesting, but yeah, it was the house that before my mom and my stepdad got married, that was the house we lived in.
Wow.
And when we sold that, that's when we moved to the Twin Cities metro area. it was pretty funny, and it's really cheap. And that's the point I was going to make is I used to look from down here, look at houses in Minnesota, because, you know, I've talked about this before. I've always had this urge to kind of move back. I would not mind moving back. Mm-hmm. But it's always been, it's so much cheaper here in Nashville, and the houses are so expensive up there. I wouldn't have the lifestyle I wanted, blah, 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 all of that. I'm looking and going, because I'm not even looking at the what I can afford. I'm just looking at the houses that I'd be comfortable doing that. It's downsizing. It's mortgage would be less. You know, I'm at a point in my life where I'd much rather have a smaller house with a smaller payment.
Sure.
So I picked a price range and I'm looking and I'm like, a lot of these houses are just as nice, if not nicer than mine.
Oh, wow.
For half the price.
Wow.
So I start, you know, expanding, going, okay, so now it's cheaper to go back to my home state than it is to live where I'm living. Something's wrong here.
Yes. There's, you know, and that stuff is so fluid these days. You just don't know where anything's going to go.
Oh, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and really I think I told you that we stayed at my aunt's house and they were talking about some of the houses in their neighborhood, which were always more expensive because it was not a great part of town, but a nicer part of town, by the lakes in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And, I was like, they're selling for how much? What?
Wow.
It's crazy. But then I also found out that a few blocks away, actually about a mile away where my uncle used to work, his old furniture store was right in front of where George Floyd happened.
You mentioned that was
right in front of, and I'm like, oh, I thought that was in a different part of town.
Yeah.
Like, nope. That was in this part of town. It was very interesting.
Yeah. That would be tough. I'm sure that's had an impact on real estate prices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, and speaking of high prices too, because we're talking not only about that, I saw a thing about automotive and I think I sent it to you that this was a Cox Automotive study. The average car payment, this is average now in 2022, is $712.
Isn't that crazy?
Average. And the average term is 70 months. So six years, right? 72.
Yeah.
So, wow. Well,
one question I have about that, though, is that factoring in what's happening now with the what's happened with COVID and the chip shortage.
Most recent numbers. Yeah, it's the most recent numbers.
I think that's probably elevated because of that a little bit. But yeah, even when I was buying the Jeep, it was pretty nuts. And I think I'm nowhere near that high, but I have a fairly relatively high payment, and that was putting a lot of money down.
Yeah. And I was looking at that too, so this is, you know, a rate, the average rate, and this I'm sure encompasses new and pre-owned, is 5%.
Yeah.
Now that may, or I
that, could that makes a difference.
Turn. Well, for sure. But, cause the last vehicles that we've bought, one was 0%.
Right.
And the one we're on now, I think is 2.1 or 2.2. That to me is a really good case for financing as opposed to paying cash. So I'm not sure I would say that today, knowing what I know now about how wonderful our cash position is. But nevertheless, it just seems like that's carrying a lot of monthly stones there.
Yeah, and it's just, well, the price of cars are going up, and also I read something, Ford is increasing the price of their Mach-E. And anywhere between $3,000 and $8,000. But what's interesting? They're getting that rebate, which is $7,500.
But it has been, and it's not a rebate; it's a tax credit.
Right. I'm sorry. Still, yeah.
No. Don't be sorry. That's what a lot of people interpret it as. Not everybody. If you don't itemize, not everybody is going to benefit from that.
No,
from that tax credit.
Right, and you have to figure out how to, because some people will buy their car and then forget that. If you purchase it, you're the one responsible for getting that tax credit
on
your taxes.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely
However,
right.
If you lease, it gets rolled into the lease.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know exactly how it's.
I don't know how it does it, but that's
because you did.
Yeah, that's what I did. I did that too, and so I really want to get. Into some of that stuff, or maybe I don't. But anyway, I think too, one of the other things that really attributes to that higher price, which again, why I chose to lease, was to get a lower payment.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Because the values of the vehicles are just so high. I got to do quick math here, which I'm not good at. So give me just a second. But
you're really good at slow math, though. I don't mind.
Really good
you.
At slow math.
Yes, you are. I think that is the thing about leases for everybody is and just so everybody's clear about leases, when you do lease, you have a lease end value or a buyout figure in advance. So you know what it's going to cost you if you decide you want to buy it at the end of the lease term. And that didn't on open end leases. It did not used to be that way. These are all closed end leases, though. Today, as far as I know, on new vehicles.
So, yep. So my first Jeep was higher. It wasn't high priced. It was mid range for the Jeep, and my current Jeep is high end, but my. What I paid for that Jeep in 1997 is about 370% more. My Jeep now is about 370% more than that Jeep was.
Wow.
So, and that's only because it has the name on.
Yeah.
Well, part of it is the battery, but not by much. I mean, if you bought my Rubicon.
Yeah.
Without the battery, it'd still be that expensive.
They are. So I give Jeep credit. They have found a way to own that market. And it's amazing because these are high dollar vehicles. And
yes,
if you look at a pre-owned one, they're still expensive. I mean,
they don't depreciate. That's one of the reasons.
2018, 2019, whatever. They're still in the $50,000 range. Yeah. A lot of them.
Yep.
And holy cats. Good for them.
Yeah. I can't fault. I bought.
No, exactly.
I can't fault them for it.
You did. Know, and you have a residual value, which has got to be very high, which makes
it is.
The monthly payments lower.
Much lower. Yep.
Yeah. Good sense, again, to lease.
One of the reasons I did it.
For
know?
Sure.
And a lot of people go, why would you lease a Jeep Wrangler? I'm like, because I'll release it for 3 years and then I'll buy it out.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm paying for it a lot longer than most people would. But
it doesn't matter, though. It's a 3-year test drive, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly it. If I, at the end of the 3-year term, if a bigger battery comes out, or I decide, you know what, this battery crap is not going to work for me, I'm going to go get a 392 instead.
You have choices.
I can do another lease.
Exactly.
And test drive that one for 3 years.
Exactly right.
Yep. So, you know, I think it's just all around for what I'm doing with it.
Yep.
I think it was a smart move to do it that way.
And I don't disagree with you. And I think that's why you're probably going to see leasing in general come back a little stronger.
Well,
just looking at these monthly payments.
Right. And, but we need to do a better job of educating the customer, because
I totally agree with that. As you know, I do. That's one thing, you know, when's the last time? So ask a sales manager, when is the last time you quoted a lease payment when the customer didn't ask for it?
Right. Yeah.
And I can tell you hardly ever happens.
Hardly ever happens.
And the main reason I can tell you that is because I've done this research. 24% of new vehicles are leased now. And that was just in the teeth of COVID. 24% is all. And I used to run a store that we were at 90%. It was a Cadillac store, but 90%, just short of 90% lease penetration on new vehicles. And it was incredible. But the beauty of it from the dealer standpoint, at the end of the lease, which was usually 2 to 3 years, you got another shot at that customer and getting them into another vehicle.
Right.
And they're always under warranty, and they loved that part of it.
Yeah.
So,
some of the arguments I hear from dealers now is, oh, well, the captive lenders, that their leases aren't very strong. Their leases are horrible.
And there is some accuracy to that.
There is, but here's the thing. Know your customer.
Yeah.
And to your point, let's build in a mechanism that gets that customer back in the door in 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely.
And if the payment's only $50 higher, they're going to do it. You're going to try to bump them if they finance it anyways.
Yep.
You know, we just have to be smarter and more strategic about how we talk to the customer and how we but again, you know, where I get into trouble and this is, every meeting that I present at, this is how I preface it. I say, listen, two things. One, I spent a fair number of years, probably half of my career, outside of the car business.
Sure.
So, and in marketing. So I have a marketing brain.
Mm-hmm.
The other half is in the car business, and I understand what you're going through, mm-hmm. but I really think that you're going to see a long-term payoff if you think strategically and not reactionary.
Yeah. It's ownership cycle stuff rather than the one-time sale like it used to be years ago.
And it's down to customer experience. You know, one of our buddies that has been on the podcast before was talking to a dealer or a dealer group. I don't remember what it was, but he was saying something about the folks that are hiking the prices. You know, they'll put MSRP on there.
Yep.
And then they'll.
And the ADM, additional dealer markup.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's you kind of look at them and go, well, you know, can you put a value on customer experience?
Mm.
And how does that affect your customer experience? Because if you're going to piss that customer off, they're not coming back. And who cares if you 10-pounded them?
Yep.
And by the way, for those of you who don't know, that's when you actually make $10,000 in profit on a car, they call it 10-pounding or 5-pound or whatever.
It doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen very often at all. No. In fact, that's always been my argument. I'm going to have a lot of dealers jump off of the, because we do have dealers that listen to this.
But, I know, and that's good.
I'm going to piss a lot of them off. Man. But that's one of my arguments for digital retailing, because a lot of people will say, you know, I want to control the price, and I can't do that on digital retailing. And my argument is actually you can, and you probably do a better job, because let's say you have 10 customers and you lose $1,000 on 9 of them, and then you 10-pound somebody. And you're so happy that you just made $10,000, but you only made $1,000 because you lost $1,000 on the previous 9. So that's correct. Only $1,000 in the black.
Well, and not only that, but there you're talking about sheer numbers there. You're not talking about CX, and that's when people are not going to come back.
Right,
And so the real cost.
Yeah, we're not even getting to that part yet.
Exactly. The real cost is not what you made, it's what you lost.
Right. So digital retailing, you can build in $1,000 on every single deal.
Yep.
And now instead of losing 9,000, then 10 pounding someone, now you've got $10,000 in the bank.
And you have a customer.
And you have a customer
for others.
Exactly.
And come back for the next purchase and yada, yada, yada. Yep.
You control the experience.
Yep.
And I do think we get into the weeds a lot with a lot of dealers because we talk about giving customers the greatest experience online they've ever had. But we always forget to tell the dealer that in that process, you also have to control their experience.
Yeah.
So don't just put every widget you possibly can up on the website and hope they're going to use it. No. Be strategic about
something they like.
Exactly. Be strategic about what you put on your website, the calls to action, and then tell the customer exactly what you want them to do without telling them what you want them to do.
And then when they connect with you, if they do come into the store, which according to research, about 74% hand raisers say
absolutely.
They still want to come into the dealership.
Absolutely.
You have to deliver that in-person experience that mirrors your digital retailing transparency.
Absolutely. And I am not a believer that we're just digital retailing is the answer to everything. It's not there for just the customer.
But it's one of the answers.
It is one of the answers. But
for sure.
you can't just put it on your website and hope your customer finds
correct.
It. You have to educate them. And you know what it's a better tool for? It's a better tool for your salespeople than it is for the customer. If they engage with it and start the process, and that's it, start the process. You're not going to finish the process online.
Well, and we talk about so much of this, and everybody wants, not everybody, many dealers want digital retailing capacity, and they want to be able to quote payments, and that's great. And if you can close the sale stem to stern at your dealership with your retailing tool, that's awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
But to me, it is nothing more than an indicator of your transparency.
Yep.
We have to be willing to say, if the customer wants to do it all online, give them the wherewithal to do that.
Yeah.
If they want to phone the store and talk to somebody and make friends, make sure you have that in play too.
Yep.
If they want to send an email, if they want to drive in and never meet you before, we need to have that in place too. It's all about transparency that however you want to do it, Mr. or Ms. Customer, let's do it that way. And we will provide you with the wherewithal.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think on that note, John, that's a great way
note.
To end it. Yep.
It is.
It is a very good note.
We had like two topics.
We had three topics.
Did we have three? Oh, we did have three.
You had two that you planned, and then we had the third one here that we just knocked out of the park.
Well, it was kind of car payments. That was
that's true. That is true. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, folks, you know, if you want to learn more about Potty Mouths or listen to some of the previous episodes, which I must say are fantastic.
They're amazing.
Really. You know, we haven't said this in a long time, but if you really like what we do here, please tell your friends, tell at least one friend. And then if you hate what we do here and you think that it's going to make your ears bleed as well as other people's, share it with the person you hate.
Tell your
enemies. At least one. Yeah. Tell your enemies. Please do.
Jesus said, pray for your enemies.
That's right.
And we say, send them to Potty Mouths.
Send them to Potty Mouths. John,
we'll
how can they get there?
All you have to do is go to pottymouths.com. Obviously, we are going to have our podcast episodes on Spotify and on Apple. I mean, all the usual places.
All Stitcher, the usual suspects.
Yep. You can go to all the good places to find us. But if you need to get there quickly, pottymouths.com, or just download them from your favorite platform.
Well said, sir. On that note, which I already kind of said, but I'm going to say it again. On that note,
I love
have
that.
A fantastic. Well, I stole it from Jeremy Clarkson. Have a fantastic week, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.